Welcome to everyone who's either on the phones or streaming the audio. My name is Jean Balance, and hopefully you're joining us here today for an internet seminar entitled New Year, New Clue-In, where we're going to look at what's new with the website and talk about some of the changes we've made and our future directions planned for this year. Before we get started, again, while we're waiting for the last-minute attendees to hop on and join us, I just want to cover some basic housekeeping rules and make sure everyone's situated, because we are using a new seminar platform today. We're beta testing it. So I'll thank you in advance for your patience and your efforts to work with us as we try this new interface out together and to let us know what you think of it and how it works for you. And I will apologize, as we all know Murphy's Law here, things will go wrong probably, so I apologize in advance if there are any technical glitches, but again, any information you can provide to help us figure out what goes wrong to help us improve in the future is greatly appreciated. As with all of our internet seminars, when you registered for today's event, you should have received a confirmation page as well as an email that contained all the information you needed to participate. And one piece of information was the seminar URL or homepage, which again looks a little bit different because we're using a new platform, but it still contains the same information, where you had the opportunity to download the slides, look at a summary of today's events, look at the speakers, bio, and contact information, as well as see some additional resources and provide feedback when the event's over with. From that seminar homepage, there were links to join the actual seminar or go right into the seminar. So you've either downloaded the slides and are looking at them locally or hard copy in front of you, or you're hopefully looking at them through our new seminar interface through a web browser right now and are starting on slide number one, the title slide. If I could get everyone to move on to slide number two, we're going to cover some housekeeping. It looks like we've got the majority of our participants on, so I'm happy to see that. We should have a good audience today. If you aren't sure how to use the new interface, just a little quick tutorial. It's very similar to the old one, but a little bit faster and a little bit smoother. There are a series of green icons or buttons that will appear on the lower portion of your screen where the slide is showing up. And those buttons will appear just above the little Clue-In logo. In order to move forward one slide, you'd simply click the single arrow pointing to the right. To move backward one slide, you click the single arrow pointing to the left. To go to the home page or starting slide, you'd simply click the first button or icon there, which looks like a little arrow half circle pointing in an upward direction. You can also use the little slider bar, which runs along the middle lower portion of the slide. You can actually drag and very quickly jump to any numbered slide you'd like throughout the presentation. So again, the standard operating procedure, you're just using a different button in this new interface, but it's a single arrow pointing to the right will move you forward, or simply use the slider to jump quickly to a different numbered slide. I'm on slide number two, and again, the housekeeping rules, although the interface may be a little bit different, are exactly the same. We always ask and appreciate when you can keep your phones on mute so that we won't disrupt anything as we go through the materials today. If you don't have a mute button, simply press star 6 to mute your lines and pound 6 to unmute your lines at any point in time. We remind everyone not to put the call on hold because sometimes there's background music or advertisements which can disrupt the seminar. So just star 6 and we should be good to go for the rest of today's event. We will be asking for your feedback. There won't be designated question and answer period today. I'm going to go through some materials and kind of show you some of the things we've done and are planning to do. But we welcome your comments and your inputs and your questions as soon as they come up. So if at any point in time you have a question, no need to wait. You can simply take your phone off of mute and by hitting pound 6 and speak freely. Or for those of you streaming the audio online, you'll actually be using a little bit different of a live Q&A two-way chat stream that we've turned on. In previous versions of the Clue-In seminars, there was a little question mark button you would click, and a form would open up, and you'd submit that and would go to a private page that was only visible by the instructors. We also use that same question mark icon to report technical difficulties. In this new platform, we've opened it up so that people can see, and you'll know exactly if your question has been sent out. You can keep it anonymous. That little Q&A module appears on the right side of the slides if you're looking at these materials online. You should see the scrolling history of what's been submitted at the very top, and then just below there are two boxes, your name, which is blank. You can give us your name or not. You can submit things anonymously, as well as a space to actually submit your question or comment. When you've typed up your message, you click send. If you need to erase what you've typed before you click send, you can use the clear button, and that will delete the text in the question field. Again, this is two-way, so anyone can contribute. Any one of you could type a message up right now, and we'll all be able to read it. That makes it a lot easier when there's been group discussions about a website or a particular individual's email address or contact information needs to be shared. You can very quickly put it out there, and everyone can see it. You'll also use the same method to report technical problems. Just give us your name and phone number, and one of our support staff will reach out to you to help you. So hopefully that will work for all of you all. If it doesn't, or you have comments about that, again, feel free to speak up. But that is the new approach we're taking for questions and answers. So we've kind of gone over the keeping the phones on mute. Don't put us on hold. Use those arrows to kind of move forward and backwards in the slides, or use the scroll bar to jump ahead. And use the Q&A module or interface to submit your questions electronically if you're streaming the audio. And it looks like there was a wonderful question that was just submitted, and it says, is there a way to send a message only to the seminar leader? And at this point in time, in this version of the platform, no, it's all public. We do have a private stream, which we've maintained, and we may choose to turn that on if it's a request that people want, but we haven't deployed it in this version that you guys are beta testing right now. So all messages are public. Everyone can see them. You could always email the instructor or leader afterwards if you want to have a private communication, but at this point in this version, there's no live private message to the leader. So thank you for that question. So I'll ask everyone to move on to the next slide, slide number 3, a little bit of an overview of what we'll be talking about today. Again, my name is Jean Ballant. I'm an environmental scientist and engineer from the Technology Innovation Program, and I'll be both the moderator and primary speaker for today's event. I may be joined by other colleagues like Michael Adam and other individuals who work on the CLUIN website, hopefully throughout the afternoon as we go through the materials. But basically, what we really want to do is kind of give you a little bit of a history. People don't always understand what CLUIN is, what it's gone through, and what it was really put out there to do. So we were hoping to take this opportunity to explain to those users who are interested a little bit more about the website and its services, what our vision is for it, why we do some of the things that we do, talk about some of the changes we've made as a direct response to inquiries and comments from other visitors and site users in the past, get your feedback on some of these changes, test drive this new seminar interface, give you a little sneak peek of the new website that we're going to be launching at the end of this month. It'll be available next week. And then talk about some future efforts you might consider. So again, this is really just a sort of a tour and an overview of what the CLUIN website is, what we do with it, what we hope to do with it, and we welcome any comments or questions you may have, whether it's now or later on. Move everyone on to slide number 4, the overview of CLUIN. CLUIN actually does mean something. It's short for Hazardous Waste Cleanup Information Network, and it was set up as an outside website to basically serve as a primary resource for information on hazardous waste characterization as well as remediation. And you'll notice the URL, if you guys are familiar with it, CLUIN.org. This is an outside website. We are part of the Environmental Protection Agency. The office, the Technology Innovation Program, actually comes from the Superfund program at EPA, and we are the ones that have built and maintained the CLUIN website, but it exists on its own separate independent space. It's not part of the larger EPA website. We've done that for a few reasons, and we'll talk about why in a minute, but really it's very helpful because we survey and service the profession at large. We don't just give you information from EPA, but we tap into resources from other federal agencies, other state bodies, national laboratories, academic institutions, research entities, private companies, vendors, site owners, anyone that has information and resources that will benefit the profession at large, we tap into and we can make available through this outside website. We do, however, make a presence visible on the EPA.gov website, so you'll find us at epa.gov/TIO, which is short for Technology Innovation Office. And if you go there, you'll literally see a mirror image of what CLUIN is. The only resources you'll find directly there are epa.gov, with links kicking you back to CLUIN. So you will see us there, but we primarily exist as an outside service provided by the EPA so that we can, again, have this independent resource offering to the general public. Right now, the website so far has almost had 7 million visitors in its lifetime, and we average about 4,000 independent visits a day. Roughly at any given time, there are about 100 active users looking at the resources and accessing our information at any point. Moving on to slide number 5, the history of the website and the service. It actually started out back in the late 80s as a bulletin board system, which was internal to the Superfund program. And about 10 years later, they launched a formal website. It predated the EPA.gov website. So before the agency had a website, CLUIN was around. And for that reason, we were grandfathered into existence, and they allow us to operate independently because we were here before they were. There were a lot of changes that happened very rapidly over the next few years through the late 90s, where we started introducing a lot of different resources. Our monthly newsletters like Tech Direct started including internet seminars, offering online databases. We started pushing out streaming videos. And then later on, once 2000 hit, then we started crafting and improving the website, trying to make sure you guys could access the information in a smart way by improving our search engine or tapping into new technologies like RSS feeds and podcasts so that the information we had available on that website was getting into the hands of our users. Moving to slide number 6, these are just a couple of screenshots of the early versions of the website, starting with the bulletin board to the very first Clue and web page to the modern look. If you move on to slide number 7, that's a quick snapshot of what the new page. We're going to look at that in detail later on, but Clue-In has gone through a facelift, and you guys will be able to use the new website very shortly. And that's part of the benefits of the seminars, give you a sneak peek of what we've done. On slide number 8, this is a text structure of the website. Again, it's very different for me and my colleagues to work on this website because we're immersed in it every single day. We know exactly what it is, where things are, how we've structured it, and why we've done it. But sometimes to the outside user, that didn't always make sense. So we looked at the existing organization of the information and tried to simplify and streamline it. So the materials that you see on slide number 8 that are shown in bold and underlined are the core regions or areas that we've kept in the new structure to Clue-In. So the analogy to the existing framework, when you go to the Clue-In website, there are a series of buttons that appear on the left side. Those are the types of, that's what I'm referring to. We've kind of modified that and grouped them this way. We tried to make it practical. What are the key things that we're really delivering? And that's information on technology, information on particular contaminants, focusing on issues that might go beyond just a technology or a pollutant, looking at a particular type, or looking at a whole new way of looking at remedial strategies like green engineering, or perhaps something like vapor intrusion. These are important hot topic issues. We've then also kind of kept areas for looking at strategies, initiatives, and partnerships. These are things that aren't necessarily reserved to, again, a particular technology or contaminant, but these are perhaps new ways or best practices that we're trying to disseminate to the profession at large, things like optimization or long-term monitoring, optimization, and network improvement. We've also kept a space for vendors and developers, because one of the biggest services we try to provide is to benefit those that are out there developing these new technologies and approaches to use at hazardous waste sites. So we like to collect resources and make it available to them to promote that type of professional growth and industry development. And we've also kept a region for training and events because it's one of the most popular resources we have. And then other resources like our news items and our upcoming internet seminars and our different multimedia files that we make available. So this is the new structure. We've tried to do it in a way that we think will simplify things and make it easier for you to find things. The facelift should also make it easier to access these resources. But again, if something doesn't make sense or you have comments on this type of structure, we welcome anything that you'd like to provide. Moving on to the next slide, looking a little bit at our impact. Again, from a numbers perspective, we've had almost 7 million visits last year. We had 1.5 million visits alone. We had 250,000 downloads of our documents last year as well, which is a pretty amazing success for us. One of, again, our biggest and most popular resources are our internet seminars. We've done just over 560 of them since we started in the late 90s. But last year alone, we did 128 unique events. That means that we offered at least 10 events per month, which means it's averaging about 2 to 3 free online technical trainings per week through the website. And if you use us, or you look in Google, and you're looking up hazardous waste remediation, we are usually the number one search result that pops up in the key engines, which means more people link to us and our website when they're looking for hazardous waste information than anything else. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 10. The other thing is that with the increase in the internet and its expansion into all things that we do, and a lot of new Web 2.0 and social networking tools, Clue-In is not just contained in and of its own website. It's not just there. We actually are tapped into and linked into a number of other information sharing tools like Delicious. If you're familiar with that, that's a social bookmarking tool so that people can log in and bookmark a website, tag it, and then when I go into Delicious, if I find a site and tag it hazardous waste, I can also see what other people have bookmarked under that same phrase. So you can find us in Delicious. People bookmark us publicly like that. We are in iTunes. We have a podcast. We even have a group page on Facebook. So we are not just self-contained. We are out there and actually integrated into other sites. Moving on to slide number 11. What we want to talk about now is kind of the focus of what Clue-In is to us and what we hope you see it as a user. And one of the biggest things that we try to do with Clue-In is that it's supposed to serve as an information resource. Right now, I think the numbers are a little bit low. We have, I think it's closer to almost 700 publications and other resources that are up on the website. There are 18 different databases ranging from specific technologies or contaminants to methodologies and approaches applied at particular sites that include almost 14,000 case studies, site profiles, or other specific technology reports. We have links to 14 different types of software programs, which range from sampling plan development to site data management with things like Scribe. We also have almost 30 streaming videos, which go on from things like phytoremediation to looking at emergency response at national disasters like Hurricane Katrina. So this is, to us, one of our primary jobs is to create this rich information resource for the profession. Moving on to slide number 12, one of the other big things CLUIN is supposed to be is a source for training. Again, we've been offering free online technical training and conference webcasts. You'll get to it at cluin.org/training since the late 90s. We record our seminars and archive them for later viewing. So I already mentioned that we did 128 live events last year. But last year alone, looking at the archives, the ones that we've made available, those things were downloaded and viewed 185,000 times just in last year alone. So that's a huge success for us, the power in delivering one training one time and then enabling that to be there to be accessed later on by anyone else so they can catch it when it's convenient for them has been a huge huge success story to us. And we really try to encourage people that even though you can't be there for the live delivery, remember you can come back and watch this later on and make it very easy for them to get access to these archive sessions. And again, the types of training we offer, I mean, some of the, these are just three random titles. One, a systematic approach for the evaluation of capture zones of pump and treat sites. Some more technology-specific ones, like the using high-resolution piezocones to determine hydraulic parameters and mass flux distribution. To more case study examples for particular programs, where they were looking at sustainable practices at brownfield sites in one of the EPA regions. So we try to cover the gamut and do, again, general practices, looking at specific technologies or contaminants. Sometimes we focus seminars and trainings around particular guidance or documents that have published. And we also try to do case studies when a particular approach or technology has been successful. Moving on to slide number 13. It's also a major news resource, or what we try to do. We try to be that source where people go to learn what's happening and what's new. There are four email as well as hard copy newsletters that are available. Again, they're at cluin.org/newsletters. The biggest and most popular is Tech Direct, which is our monthly newsletter that goes out on the first of each month, and it contains a list of new publications that we think are of interest to professionals, as well as upcoming internet seminars that have been planned on CLUIN, in addition to conferences and other resources and important news items. We try to tap into other information sites like ours, for example, UGRIS, which is the European version of CLUIN. We go through there and scan their resources and provide summaries of that in our monthly Tech Direct newsletter. And right now we've got about, I think it might just be over 32,000 subscribers right now on Tech Direct. We have other ones, including the Technologies, News, and Trends, which are summaries of specific applications of particular technologies, and then the Technology Innovation News Survey and Federal Business Ops, again, trying to promote and do whatever we can to support the business of technology research and development. We've also, though, beyond just giving those monthly newsletters that go out, we've also tapped into newer technologies, including RSS feeds and podcasts, so that you don't have to wait until the first of the month to find out what we put on CLUIN. If you are an RSS feed subscriber, you can actually get an alert the moment I put something new on the website. The moment there's a new archive available, you'll get a little pop-up. The moment we have a new document published to the website, you'll get a message. If you are not familiar with RSS or this approach or how it works, there's a little fact sheet that's included in the additional resources, which kind of walks through what RSS is and gives you some examples of how you can use it and some other feeds that might be of interest to you. But it's a very easy way to stay on top of updates to websites without actually having to go there routinely to visit to look for it. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 14. The other thing that we hope CLUIN manages to be is a pulse for trends. Again, we survey and look at the entire profession at large, independent of source. So we are able to work with multiple federal agencies, other state organizations. We try to work with anyone who has useful information, and we're able to kind of step back and globally look at technologies that are being deployed. What are the new emerging innovative approaches that people are testing? What are the big trends that we tend to see when we look at all of the Superfund sites that are being cleaned up, and we publish an annual status report looking at those technologies, where we've seen improvements, if we see a lag or a discontinuation of a particular approach, or we see a new emerging media or site type problem. you can look into and tap into the resources we make available as a practitioner to see exactly what is new, what is emerging, what's going on in the hazardous waste world. And the next slide, slide number 15. The other thing that we try, and this should hopefully be apparent throughout all of these things, is that clueing is supposed to be a connection point. Again, it's this independent grouping of we service the profession, whether you are a government employee, you're a public member, just a general citizen, you are a technology practitioner, a technology developer, you are an academic institution. We don't care where you are coming from. It's an information resource. We make it available and make it accessible. We also work across programs, whether it's Superfund, Brownfield, Underground Storage Tanks, RECRA. We cross the programs because, again, there's that underlying theme of hazardous waste. And again, we partner with other institutions like the Interstate Technology Regulatory Council, or ITRC, or the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences, I believe, NIHS, Superfund Basic Research Program, the Office of Brownfields Cleanup and Redevelopment, the Federal Remediation Technologies Roundtable. Again, multiple entities we try to tap into and partner with to get this information and get it out to you. And the little image you see on slide 15 is just a quick snapshot of our subscribers. You know, more than half of the people that look at TechDirect come from a generic outside personal.com or commercial email address. The rest are spread across educational institutions, international subscribers, and state and federal agencies. Now, moving on to slide 16, I don't see any additional questions. I don't hear anybody coming off of mute, so hopefully the pace and the content is working for everyone right now. What we're going to do now that we've kind of given you that overview and an introduction of what clueing has been and what we try to make it exist as right now, we're going to talk about some of the new things that we've done to the website or we're planning to do. On slide 16 is just a brief summary. We're going to look at each one of these in more detail. But generally, what we always do every year is add additional information resources. We'll see some of those in a bit. We've kind of improved our podcast and our internet seminar platform. We're also going to look to change the way we're offering our seminars and kind of go a little bit more focused with particular themes each month. We are updating the website, and we hope to have, we've already kind of touched on that, improved organization to make the information easy for you to find. So let's dive right on in, and again, feel free to either unmute your phone by pressing #6 and speak up if you have a question or comment, or use that Q&A if you have a question or comment you'd like to submit. Again, it could be anonymous. If you don't want me to know who you are, I won't be able to, just don't fill your name out, and I won't know who it's coming from. So one of the things that we've done, there are new issue areas and resources. These are just two that we happen to put up in the last year or so that have been immensely popular. One of them is green remediation. It's at clueing.org/green remediation. The other is ecological revitalization or ecological land reuse, and that's at clueing.org/ecotools. These individual spaces are sort of mini websites in and of themselves where you'll find government policies, guidance on these particular issues. You'll find examples or applications of technologies or approaches, so little profiles of green remediation at work and where it's been used. You'll also find links to existing resources, or in the case of the EcoTools, you'll find vendors and service providers. If you're looking to learn more about reuse and how you can be environmentally conscious in it, you can actually look through a listing of service providers and get some examples of how it could be done. There'll also be other documents as well as links to relevant training and other independent websites and resources available on these particular topics. We try to put these things together as they become apparent and stand up to us as emerging issues. But again, some of that comes from our interactions with you, the general public. So if there is an issue or something that you think or you would like to see us explore and provide more organized content and structure to, by all means, feel free to submit a comment or let us know, because we do listen and read those emails and try to devote our resources whenever we can to developing the issue areas that the general public wants to see. Slide number 18, another resource that we've put up there, is a searchable vendor directory. Some of you may be familiar with a previous service that we offered here years ago through something called ReachIt, which was a very extensive online database that allowed people to go in and search through examples of technologies that had been used at Superfund sites and search for vendors who could offer particular services. And we tried to link to supporting documentations or verifications like the environmental verification technology reports, that people could find and easily look at a vendor, see what they were capable of doing, see where it had been documented, how they had performed. We had to discontinue that in order to conserve resources. So Reach-It was disabled a few years ago, but we consolidated the listing of vendors to a simple spreadsheet and made that available on the Clue-In website. In the past year, though, we've actually reactivated it, and we've made it searchable. So you can actually go to the Clue-In vendor area, and there's, I think it's cluein.org/vendor-info, and you'll be directed, you can actually search through. So if you're looking for a particular vendor who's capable of some sort of a gas monitoring technology, you can look through and see all of the vendors that have that capability, as well as pull up a short little profile which contains their contact information, what they technologies they claim they have, what contaminants and media they claim they can treat. So it's not as extensive as Reach-It was, but it's still sort of serving as an online vendor phone book. And we expect in the next few weeks to be able to activate the update feature so that will allow additional vendors to come in and either modify existing entries or add new entries. We've got a whole list of about 60 or 70 people that are waiting to get themselves into this. So if you did try to come to us for Reach-It-like information, we have reactivated it and are bringing it back to you this year in the form of this updated searchable vendors database. Hopefully some of you will be happy to hear that, because I got many, many emails when we took away Reach-It that we were very unhappy about the discontinuation. So this is our best return to that service that we can offer at this time. Slide number 19, you know, one of the other things that we did, we included slides in our podcast. If you're not familiar with the way a podcast works, typically it's something you might run through iTunes, but you can do it in a number of other tools or websites, where anytime a new audio file is available, so a recording of a particular event, you'll be given an option to have it pop up on your desktop, be automatically downloaded to your computer, or show up on a particular website when you log in. What we have also then done is included links for accessing the slides, so that right in iTunes, when you get that little notification that the audio for the seminar held last week is available, there'll be a link right below it to download and actually open up the PowerPoint or PDF version of the slides right in that view. So we've made it very easy to stay abreast of those upcoming or most recently added archives, all with one very easy stream that you can subscribe to. If you haven't subscribed to it already, the URL is there. You can simply go to the training page, and there's a link for the podcast. If you just copy and paste it, there's also a help sheet which will talk to you about how you can subscribe to a podcast. And there's additional information on our additional resources page for today's event. If you happen to be in iTunes and you're looking for it, if you search for cleanup information in the iTunes store, you'll find the Clue-In podcast. You'll see our little sun logo. It'll pop right up. The next slide, slide number 20, this might be something that many people didn't notice, but for our side, it's one of the things that makes our lives a little bit easier. We've switched to the audio stream, or the way we give the audio to people who are listening through a web browser rather than on the telephone lines. And we're streaming it directly as an MP3 format. You should see additional documentation and explanations of this when you register for events, as well as in the confirmation page and emails that will go out that will include instructions on how to participate, how to test your system to make sure you can hear the stream. It'll have a sample clip there. There'll be you work with the audio stream and actually go and get the material or software you may need for your computer if you don't have it already. So, you know, if you haven't done so already, you're having any difficulty, you know, there are links there to test your system, but please let us know. We've had one or two glitches with it when we've tested it in the past. We think we figured out what those were, and we have since then fixed it. But this overall will allow us to preserve the recording with a much higher audio quality, and then eventually will help us improve future deliveries by allowing us to accommodate additional people because we've changed the stream. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 21. This is one of the things you guys should have seen. The first improvement you saw when you registered for this event, what's new? We've changed the Internet Seminar platform. One of the things we tried to do was give it a cleaner, more modern look, and we wanted to simplify what you saw on that page. So we've removed some of the other icons and links you may have seen. It's the same stuff that was always there, you know, opportunities to download the slides, opportunities to look and provide feedback, to review the seminar homepage, to go to the seminar. Well, we've tried to just simplify it and make it look a little bit cleaner. We've also changed the way the slides themselves are put up on the website. They're not the same type of file format. We're using an Adobe product that converts them to a Flash-type file. And that means the slides load a lot faster, which if you have ever been a participant on a very long session or a 200 PowerPoint slide presentation that's been given. Occasionally, those slides may take a long time to load. If you have slow internet connection or there are a lot of images, it'd be cranking out. This should load everything up front, and it should be very quick. So once you've gotten into the seminar, you shouldn't be waiting for any of the pages to display. You click the next button, and the next slide should immediately appear with no lag. So we're hoping that will improve the overall delivery. And it should hopefully also open up the doorway for us down the road to kind of include newer versions of the archive and change the way we're packaging and allowing you to replay material. And we've also included that public two-way chat. So rather than it being a closed one-way message system where you submitted something on a form as a participant that went into a black box that you never saw, that then was read privately in the background, we've opened it up. So we've enabled it so that you'll know immediately when your question's been sent in, because you can see it on the screen, allows everyone to see that question. So sometimes that helps spur new communications and new questions. It stimulates an idea in one of the other participants now that they saw one question. Or you won't find the same people asking the same question over and over again. They see it's been submitted, they know it'll be addressed. The other thing we're hoping is that that will also improve the communication of on-the-fly information exchange. I've been involved in many events where the instructor attempted to give a URL out to the audience, or there was an email address or phone number that they wanted to share. But perhaps a participant had a resource that they thought was relevant, and they mentioned it to the instructor, and they wanted to let everyone else know. Well, they can type a message up and cut and paste and include that URL and very quickly get that information out accurately to everyone else. I do see that there were some questions that were submitted, and one of those questions or statements is that computer security gatekeepers in some regions are reluctant to allow podcast access. What's the view of security issues from DC? That is an excellent question. Accessing podcasts, it depends on how you're looking at it. I am enabled and allowed to access the podcast through iTunes because I have special permissions to install that application. However, the podcast doesn't have to come through iTunes. The podcast is literally a URL that has streaming data that kind of automatically updates itself. And that URL for the podcast can be accessed through a web browser or through multiple websites that manage the podcast. So you can literally get iTunes-like capabilities through a particular website. When I log into Google, I have my my Clue-In podcast show up as one of the feeds that I'm reading. So I don't even need iTunes to access it. All it is a website that includes links to download an MP3 file and download those PowerPoint or PDF slides. So there shouldn't be any security restrictions or blocks on accessing audio files or PDF files. What you may run into and may be more likely is that they've blocked or banned you from installing advanced applications like iTunes, or you may find slow downloads. Sometimes these file sizes are rather large, and sometimes the regions may throttle or restrict the speed of download and upload. So it may take you a while to download the files, and that's something that's independent of us and really nothing we could do about that. Hopefully that answered the question. If not, feel free to type it up, and I'll try to provide more clarifications. And we do appreciate that, though, because that is something we try to keep in our mind. So if you do have a problem accessing it or you've been blocked, please shoot me an email, because we can also contact the regions, and we'll talk with the IT staff there and see if we can come up with a fix. One of the other questions was, how many people can participate at the same time in one of the internet seminars? That's a wonderful question. I get asked that a lot when I do these types of events and I work with training partners. Typically, it's going to depend on the mode of offering the events. We usually, in the standard approach, allow 50 telephone lines and 110 streaming audio ports. That adds up to approximately 160 lines of entry to the events at any one time. That doesn't mean people, because people will very often share a conference line, and we may have one telephone reservation for one person, but he's in a conference room with 10 other people. So we can get, even though we only have 160 lines of entry, we can often get bodies and headcounts of 300 plus for some of our internet seminars. By converting over to this new platform, this new audio stream, and this new approach to actually delivering the events, we hope to increase that and slowly raise the number of streaming audio and potentially phone participants in the future. It'll be a slow process. We'll increase 10 by 10 by 10 and test it to make sure the system can handle that many. Overall, though, you may still find that some events still include a capacity because the instructors or the training providers, from a customer service perspective, don't feel that they can answer or handle everyone's questions or comments in a professional and timely manner when there are hundreds of people on the line. So they want to keep the headcount down to 300 or 400 people. They will not, even if we could technologically speaking sustain 1,000 people on the line for their training, they don't feel that they can answer the questions and give the same level of training and education in that type of an environment. So they prefer to restrict the capacity. In some cases, when we work with training partners, they change the way they want to deliver things. And if they don't stream any audio, and they only want to use phone lines, we can also greatly increase the number of people we allow to participate because it changes the way the seminar is delivered. So hopefully that answered your question, and those are all good questions. Thank you for asking. So again, right now, it's limited to 160 lines of entry, but we hope to see that number increase and get I don't want to say putting numbers out there, but we will slowly be upping that number 10 at a time to test out the system. Slide number 22. We're just talking about this, that our plan is to increase the participant capacity throughout 2009, and depending on the topic and the training partner, you may see much larger capabilities or you may see the standard numbers we offer now. One of the things that I like to point out is that despite the improvements we've made, one of the other things that we've managed to include, and I don't have any in this presentation today, is that we've managed to preserve the animations in PowerPoint. So if there were images or text boxes or figures or things that came in particular order, moved around and highlighted themselves within PowerPoint, we can preserve that and play that in this new seminar platform. In the past, we used to have to do kind of staged slides to kind of mimic it. So you'd click through slide one, click through slide two, and these things would appear slide by slide. We've managed to cut back on that, and we don't have to do that anymore. But you still have to move yourself through the slides. So you have to click through. And we've chosen to really push for that because it does ensure that people are engaged. You're not sitting back reading emails, multitasking. If you're not listening to me, you're not paying attention to the slide number, you're not going to be able to keep up because we're forcing you to kind of flip through the materials as we direct you through it. And again, the new Q&A interface, which allows people to type up questions, you can keep it anonymous. It won't show your name unless you choose to enter that. And it looks like there was a comment that came in that says that creating an FAQ on accessing a podcast with a browser would be helpful. And thank you for that comment. If we don't have one on the resources page, I do have one, and we will get that out to you. Same way we have an FAQ on the RSS feed, we will certainly do one for the podcast. There should be, if you go to the podcast page, a little help page that describes what podcasts are, how you can access it. And I think it does also link you to a page that lists a few websites. But I'll be certainly happy to do an FAQ that kind of walks you through step-by-step using a web browser. So thank you for that comment. Moving on to slide 23. One of the new things we're going to do this year when we're organizing events and content on Cluin is a result of something that we tried last year. We did, in August of 2008, we had what we called XRF Month. And that month we had a whole seminar series of 8 different internet seminars where we took a one-day classroom training on XRF and using that technology in the field and broke it down into 8 two-hour events and delivered them throughout the month of August as part of our XRF month. And we had a hugely popular and absolutely positive response to that type of approach. People wanted to see more technology-specific seminar series, and they wanted to see more focused themes like that. They really liked the idea that there was a whole bunch of different events on one topic. We've started to do more of that now, where if you've been a participant, we've done a number of brownfields months where we've done a seminar series where there were 3 events that all looked at different brownfield sites for a particular region. Or we've done green remediation was another recent seminar series that the EPA's engineering forum put on that broke down 3 different seminars looking at green remediation example applications and methodologies from different perspectives. We will continue to do that in 2009, except with the new seminar interface as well as the new Cluin website and the new structure, we're going to be able to really push home that message or that idea of a theme. So when you come to the seminar, when you go to the Cluin homepage, you will see that month in April is Green Remediation Month because we will be highlighting publications on green remediation when you first get there. We will be listing points of contact that are active in this arena. We will be showing you the case studies that we have on green remediation examples that are up there. We will quickly link to all of the previous training on green remediation, including scheduling a number of series or number of seminars in a series for that particular month on that topic. So some of the ones that have been proposed that we're working on and trying to set up for this coming year is a green remediation month, a triad month, a conceptual site model month, a site data management month, And then from a technology perspective, we've had some requests to look at membrane interface probes. If there are other technologies or other issues that you would like to see us focus on, so we're highlighting, again, not just an online seminar series, but looking at guidance documents, reports, case studies, software applications, points of contact, anything relating to that, and really highlighting that and pushing high visibility for that, feel free to submit a comment or a question or let us know. We could even do a technology information seminar where I talk about, or months, where we look at podcasts and how they work. We look at RSS feeds and how they work. We look at newsletters and how they work and listservs. We could certainly do that if that's of interest to people. Let's see. Oh, that's wonderful. It looks like someone was able to post the podcast help. And another question has come in. Will the current presentation be archived on the new site? And yes, this presentation is being recorded and will be archived and accessible. So if you have coworkers who are interested or something you want to replay back to them, they will be able to access it just like our other seminars. And it'll actually play back in this new interface. Okay. So again, if there are, back to the slide number 23, if there are things that you want to see us do, let us know. I mean, again, it's a matter of responding to what you believe is an issue or a concern. So now, slide 24, what we've been waiting for is a little sneak peek to the new Clue-In. It's our Clue-In facelift. We will look at this in a little bit more detail, but this is a screenshot of the new face to Clue-In. One of the things we tried to do is, again, clean it up, make it a little bit more modern, and make the information more accessible to you. So on slide 24, we're going to look at some of these pieces, and we tried to label them. We've contained and preserved a lot of the original elements that exist on Clue-In. So starting on the red boxes that appear on the left side, the main topics, there's buttons that appear on the left side of Clue-In when you go there that include, you know, publications, training, software, you know, vendors. Those buttons have been moved up to the very top, and they fall into the categories or structure that we already went through in an earlier slide, looking again at technologies, contaminants, issues, strategies and initiatives. What else did we have in there? I think we had training, we had live events, we had other resources, and we had a vendor area. Those are the buttons that you'll see are the main topics. Within each one of those main topics, there are sub-menus or subcategories. For example, if you click on the technologies link or area, you have the option of looking at characterization technologies or remediation technologies. So you will, if you hover or click on any one of those buttons on the top, a submenu will pop down. It should hopefully be easier to work with than the multiple layered menus that we have now on Clue-In, where you may have on the left side, you click on one button, a menu pops out, you pick something from that, another menu pops out, and you have multiple menus that are expanding out. This is only one series along the top and one level of submenus, so it should be a little bit easier for you to use. That exact same site structure and main topics that was replicated at the very bottom. So you don't even need to know what's under what button. I mean, there's a little snapshot of everything at the very bottom of the page. So you'll see all of those main issues as well as all the subtopics and can jump right there from those links, which will be permanently at the bottom of the page. We preserve that listing of live events. So right when you come to the Clue-In homepage, you'll see what upcoming internet seminars have been scheduled, just like you see now. We've also preserved the news items, so when we have new things that pop up or important things like technology news or the latest issue of Tech Direct is out, you'll see those items in our news box. We have updated and kind of modified the Clue-In Spotlight, which is the main portion of the screen. What we're looking at right now, it looks like it's got in the very center of the page, there are some trees, there's a green box and text, and it looks like there are black boxes to the right of that. That is the Clue-In Spotlight, and it's broken down into resource types or areas like I talked about with the themes. So there will be a spotlight for conferences and events, a spotlight for publications, a spotlight for training, a spotlight for other resources. And it's an animated flash so that when you come in, just like the spotlight now, we'll rotate through a text and have links so that when you come in there, if there's something we really want to highlight or focus, will pop right up there in the spotlight. That's also how our themed months will be made more visible, because it'll be part of that spotlight. That's what we're going to highlight on the main part of the page. We've just taken that spotlight idea and tried to modernize it and make it look a little bit cleaner. One of the new things, we also preserved the site search that's there, but one of the things that we did include, and we tried to pull it out, were ways to stay connected to us. we have a lot of really valuable resources that people seem to like to tap into, like our news feeds and our podcasts and our training and Tech Direct. So we basically tried to pull out and make those things accessible. So there are little icons, and we'll look at those in more detail on the next slide, that keep those features there. And that those links of staying connected will be available on every single page. So no matter where you are, you can easily stay tapped into one of those access or contact points with us. One other thing, and I want to point that out now, as you go through the new site when we launch it, there used to be a comment or feedback button that appeared on the top of Cluent, and we got very little feedback, occasional comments that were submitted that way. That button is no longer going to be on the main areas of the website. It'll be part of the contact page. So there will be a link that shows up on every page that says contact us, and if you click on that, it'll have listings of our staff directories, but also a form that you can use to submit a comment or question to us. So if at some point you are looking through the website or you're thinking about something you want to see, you can find a way to contact with us through the contact page and use the comment form there, or you can call or email myself or Mike Adam directly. I will reflash my contact information again, but that comment or feedback form button has been removed in the main portion of the page. There was another question that came on that asked if the past presentations, I assume, will be archived, and yes, we are preserving all existing content. And we will not be converting old seminar archives to the new format. We will just preserve the files in their existing format and allow people to download those audio or download the PowerPoints or replay them online as they were originally broadcast. But future events will be delivered using this new platform and available in the new format. So good question. Thank you. All right, moving on to slide 25, looking again at that integration of connection tools, looking closer at that little side box. On every page when you go into Cluent now, there will be a link to our news items, a link to our upcoming seminars and events, a link right to Tech Direct, a link to the podcast, and a link to the RSS feed. And you will find that on every single page, so you can constantly stay connected at any point in time. Those are our key resources, one of our biggest and most frequently accessed parts of the website, so we tried to pull those out to make them readily available to everyone. So really, the only things that will be changing, those top areas or sections, the blue buttons along the top that we talked about, those will stay the same. You'll see the little connection tools buttons that we just listed. Those will appear on the right, and then the main portion of the page where you see the spotlight and the live events and the news items, that's where the other content will be embedded as you click through the site. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 26. Something else that we've also included, because again, there has been this great emergence of new technologies and tools and ways to stay connected. So we've included a new link to share, and it appears on top of those connection tools. And again, that will be on every page in Cluent. And if you were to hover your cursor or click on that share link, a window will pop up, which will have links to, I think there's two dozen different information resources or information sharing sites and services, things like Facebook, MySpace, Dig, Delicious, whatever you want, it's there. So if you are a user of any of those tools or services, you can very quickly take whatever content you were just looking at on Cluent on whatever page it was at and post that to one of those services or those sites. So I happen to use Facebook. It's a social networking tool. Many of my friends that went to college with me use that. If I find a document or publication of interest on Cluent, with one link, one click, I click through the share button here, and I can actually post that material from Cluent without copying or pasting anything right into my Facebook account, and it'll show up as a news item so that my 20 or so college friends will see that news item, and it's an easier way for me to disseminate information. You'll start to see this type of stuff on more and more websites. EPA.gov will start to integrate more of this already than it already has done some. It will continue to do so. But that's one of the new things we're trying to do to, again, help you stay connected and help you share and disseminate that information with your colleagues, because we want people to be aware of the information resources. There's an excellent question, when will this change take place for the website? And I will answer that in just one moment. But getting back to the ways to share, if you guys don't know what these tools or these services or websites are, we would certainly be happy and could come to put together a seminar on them. We could do a fact sheet on them if you want to know what they are. I'm happy to do that or answer questions if you want to learn more about them. But the question that asks, when will the change take place? They are putting the finishing touches today, and they will be doing the deployment of the new website on Monday, so next Monday. That'll happen in the evening, roughly around 9 o'clock, so you'll see a message if you go into Clue-In in the morning that lets you know and alerts you that for roughly 1 hour the website will be down while we do this migration. So by Tuesday morning, when you go to clue-in.org, you should see the new face and be able to see some see these tools and access these resources in the manner we're describing today. So you guys are getting a sneak peek at what the new website will look like. Slide 27, we're almost here at the end. Again, your feedback is incredibly important to us. It's what we really use and heavily guides us in making decisions about what information we try to challenge, we try to follow, we try to disseminate, how we allocate our resources and what we do with what we can do and how our staff really push out guidance and documents and case studies and other trainings. So there will be, just as with all of our Internet seminars today, when we're done, there will be a link to submit feedback at the end. Again, it's on the seminar homepage. The feedback form has been customized slightly to reflect the fact that we're using or beta testing this new seminar interface. So you may see some additional questions that ask about the experience of using the new interface. We do greatly value that feedback. Please, if you can, take a moment to complete that. As a reminder, if you are keeping track of trainings or seminars that you sit in on, there's an option when you fill out the feedback to check a box and have a confirmation email sent to you. So if you want a copy of that, you can do that, and you'll be able to preserve a record of your participation or at least completing the feedback for the event. Again, as I mentioned, the contact us link on the Clue-In website is what you'll be able to use to find myself, to find Mike Adam, to find other staff members, or to find the general comment form. And you can use that button to let us know something's not working, let us know you wish we did more of this, to provide general feedback on the website update. You can also use that to let us know if there's stuff you don't see on the website. If there's a technology or a contaminant that we're not focusing on and you want information on, let us know. Put it out there. You can use that comment form or just, again, directly contact either myself at ballant.gene@epa.gov or adam.michael@epa.gov. That contact information is on the seminar homepage, and you can readily find it all over Clue-In because we're the two primary staff working on the website. So with that, on slide 28, this is one of our last slides today, future efforts. Really, again, the changes that we've undertaken have been a result of talking to people, talking to users, listening to those types of feedbacks and requests. And what we hope to do is improve the site, get the information out into the hands of the people that can use it, and do so in a way which will be easy for you. Sometimes I know we all suffer from information overload, and there's just too much stuff going out there. I get, on average, I think my inbox right now is 2,000 unread emails in it. It's insane. I know it can be hard to manage all of that information, and that's why we're trying to be smarter about the way we deliver it. We allow you to decide what information you want to be notified on what schedule, using those monthly newsletters, using the spotlight, using the podcast and the archives and the RSS feeds. We're really trying to customize and deliver that content in a way that you want it. However, that means that there's always room to improve. There will always be new approaches, new technologies. One of the things that we thought about when we updated and improved the website is, what does it look like on a mobile device? If someone has an iPhone or has a BlackBerry, can they get to something on Clue-In? Does it look right? And that's part of the reasons why we changed the site structure. And I've tested the new website on my mobile device, and it actually comes in quite cleanly. So I can go in and I can register for an internet seminar on my BlackBerry if I want. It's one of the things we're thinking about, and we're trying to make sure that we're delivering information in a way that makes sense to you. But for additional work, you know, we are always looking to solicit your feedback and your comments. So are there other things that you would like to see on Clue-In or from us at the Technology Innovation Program in the future? Again, if you want to unmute your phone lines, go ahead. You can hit pound six to unmute your line at any point in time. You can type up a comment or question using the chat interface. I'll just speak freely that in some communications with other visitors and participants, we've heard requests for technology vendor discussions where they really wanted the opportunity to sit down and listen to a very focused, technology-specific presentation from somebody that actually gives or offers those services, so that people who are site owners, People in consulting firms can listen and learn from the actual technology owners and service providers what's out there, what's capable, and talk with them to really learn about what might work at their site or might not work at their site. Some people have talked about wanting the capability to be able to rate or comment a document or resource, similar to when you go to Amazon.com and somebody can get 4 stars or 1 star from the users. You could do that with our training sessions, or you could do that with our guidance or our publications. If you don't think something's useful, you can give it a bad review. You can provide comments on it. This is a great document, too technical. I suggest you use this to provide a link to something else. We've also heard or generally had requests for more events with live experts. Maybe not canned presentations, but just getting people on the phone. So if we have membrane interface probes experts here at the agency, and we know of a few out in a few other regulatory bodies and a couple of vendors, if we can get them to sit around on a phone line and sort of do a live Q&A session where people can call in and talk with them about their membrane interface probe related questions and kind of record that. So just, again, making the professionals, the information holders, and the experts more accessible to the general public and to our visitor base. Those are some things that have been submitted. If any of you have any ideas or any comments or things you'd like to see, things you wish we were doing differently, please feel free to speak now. Again, #6 to unmute your phone line. And it's okay, you don't have to. You can think about it later. You can use any of the methods we talked about earlier today in terms of using the comment form or contacting Mike Adam or myself directly. You'll be able to let us know. You can even use the feedback form at the end of today's event if you think about that. So just know that our ears are to the door. We are listening, and we are attempting to respond to make sure you are getting the information you need in the way that you want it. So if there are no comments or questions, I don't see anything else coming in online. If I could have everybody move to slide 29, which is the very last slide, and we are pretty much right on time, which is our thank you slide. That is the end of the material we have presented and prepared for today. If there are no particular comments or questions or additional discussions that you'd like to have, if you were to click on the Return to Seminar Description button, which is at the very bottom, it'll bring you to the seminar homepage. And from there, at the lower, you'll see a link either on the left side for feedback or a link at the very bottom on the lower right that says Seminar Feedback Form. If you were to click on that, either one of those links and fill out the feedback form for today's event, I would greatly appreciate that. I will be reviewing that after today's event. So I thank everyone for their time. Remind you that on that seminar homepage, you will also find links to additional resources, as some of those RSS feed tip sheets and some of the areas we talked about on Cluin. You will also find the opportunity to download my presentation, and my contact information is displayed there. So again, I thank everyone for their time today and for sharing and submitting some really great questions. I look forward to hearing your comments and suggestions in the future. And again, the new facelift for Cluin will become live late on Monday evening, so you should be able to check it out Tuesday morning early. I thank everybody again for their time and feedback, and I hope to continue to service you by providing information resources through the Cleanup Information Network website. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.